Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all out this morning. Anybody sad that they're saved today? Well, good. That's good. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and let's go over to the Old Testament, 2 Samuel. I'm going to look at an old story. It's all an old story. We're going to look at an old story today, and I'm going to try to bring a new truth. Maybe something that you hadn't seen before exactly this way. Last week, as we gathered up here, I brought a message out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the latter part of chapter 2, first part of chapter 3. And we talked about the natural man, we talked about the spiritual man and the carnal man, and how that fits in, and how we fit into that. This is kind of a continuation of that. I don't only want to identify something this morning, I want to show you how to fix it, okay? So that's where we're kind of headed today. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to start reading there. And I'm going to stop and see if we can't make some assignments as we move down through here. As we read in 1 Samuel chapter 12, as we begin here, I have to tell you that everything that we're talking about has already been talked about in 2 Samuel 11. Okay. The entirety of the 11th chapter and the heinousness of some things that took place there are what are in view as we look into the first part of chapter 12. And so we can look back at 11 and we can assign some of the cast of characters to their proper position over in chapter 12. And so that's the first thing that I want to do today. Verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. First thing that we have to understand about this is that the Lord is going to send his prophet. His prophet Nathan, who has already been in the presence of David many times before this day. The Lord is sending his prophet with a message for the man who was after his own heart, David, the king. The king of Israel. So the Lord sends the prophet Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he begins to relate a story. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. Now I'm going to stop right there and we're going to assign some values so that we can understand what's being talked about here. The Lord sends a prophet to talk to David. The prophet begins by relaying a story. He says there's two men in a city, one's rich and the other's poor. The rich man in this story is David, the king. The poor man in this story, according to the 11th chapter, is Uriah the Hittite. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. He had it all. The poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. The little ewe lamb that he's talking about here is Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, which he had bought and nourished up. It grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom, was with him, was unto him as a daughter. Goes on then and says, there came a traveler unto the rich man. There came a traveler unto the king, unto David. Now David doesn't know this is talking about him yet. He doesn't get that part yet, but he will pretty quick. And so we're looking at it with full knowledge of knowing what's coming. David's not quite sure about it yet. says there came a traveler unto the rich man. We know that this traveler comes, and the rich man is David. Says that he, that's the rich man, spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. So we have a situation where we have a rich man, had a whole bunch of flocks and herds, and we have a poor man that has one little old ewe lamb. A traveler comes, and the implication here is that the traveler asks something of the rich man. Maybe he asks, maybe he demands. We're not exactly told about that. But there is something that is required of the rich man. The rich man, rather than taking responsibility for this, himself, doing something himself to take care of this, takes from someone who had very little to lose. Takes from him. Now, in this particular scenario here that we have, first thing we need to understand is who a traveler is, who a wayfaring man is, because it's speaking of the same individual, the traveler and the wayfaring man. Traveler is goes back to language here, talking about cedar with roots. Okay? A cedar with roots that had one time been solid, but has now broken free. That the root is no longer holding, but that this tree now is trying to travel, is trying to move. This is where the word traveler comes from. This is where the term wayfaring man comes from. Something that is pulled loose from its root and is now maneuvering and moving about. So we have a rich man, we have a poor man. We have a poor man with his wife. We know the story that took place in chapter 11 and how that all comes down. And how rather than being content with what David had, he took through deceit and many other things another man's wife. Which resulted in a murder and man all kinds of things that took place with all of that. So when we look at that and we see a traveler that has come, that has made a demand, that has asked of the king something in particular, this traveler that has broke roots loose from its root, that is traveling to and fro, maybe even up and down in the earth. Where have we heard language like that before? Job chapter 1. This wayfaring idea. Now, what I have to get you to understand here is that we're not talking about Satan in this picture. Now, he's behind it. He's around it. He's over it. He's through it. He's everywhere in the story. But when we're talking about the traveler, the wayfaring man, we are not assigning the value of Satan to this individual here. Had we assigned that value to that individual, we would have a lot of trouble with the ongoing piece of the story. Because we'd have trouble with how David reacts and responds at the end of this story. We'd have trouble with Psalm 51, in fact, because Psalm 51 is a psalm of complete repentance over the things that have taken place. And in that particular psalm, he says, I only have sinned. So we can't blame the devil here. We can't blame somebody else, the traveler that has come through. Now, let me take you back for just a moment and think about last week as we talked about the three individuals that roam the face of the planet today. We have the natural man, that's the man that's lost, never yielded himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second individual that we talked about there is the spiritual individual, the one that's born again, serving the Lord, seeking the Lord, moving forward in the things of God. And the third individual is a saved individual, but yet not acting too saved, and that's the carnal individual. We understand, do we not, that we all have two natures. Oh, let me start with one nature to start with. We all have one nature to begin with. That's the nature of the lost man. That's the nature of the natural man. The natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man all have this nature. It is the old nature. It is the old man. Everybody in the room has the old nature. Everybody on the planet has the old nature. Everybody save one who's ever walked this planet had the old nature. And that one was Jesus Christ. He did not have the old nature. We all have the old nature. Many of us in the room have a new nature that goes along with that. That new nature comes in by virtue of being born again, by virtue of being saved, you see. And so those of us that have a relationship with the living Lord have two natures here this day. Let me say this as well. That old nature never dies. That old nature never goes away. That old nature has been there from day one, and it will be there the day you leave this planet. It ain't going with you, but it'll be there the last day that you spend on this planet. And every day in between. New man and the old man, both trying to occupy the same space. In the picture that we have here of David and all that's going on here with this deceit, all the things that are going on here, what we see here is that there is a traveler that has come to make demands upon him. A traveler that has asked something of him, wants something, and David provides it. And so what we see in this picture is the traveler, the wayfaring man, being the old nature. The old nature that is alive and well and maneuvering and manipulating and doing all of these things. You see, that's how David can come to the conclusion, it was me that did it. The devil didn't step in here and do this. It was me. It was me and me alone. I have sinned. I am the one that is at fault. He let the old nature get the best of him. He let the old nature drag him down. He let that old nature take him down into the pit, you see. There was a fall that took place there. You remember when God had created everything, and into Genesis chapter 1 it says, and God looked at all that he had made and he said it was all what? Very good. It was all very good. And it was all very good till the middle of chapter 3. And in the middle of chapter 3, when Adam disobeyed, when Adam willfully disobeyed, went against the things of God, he at that moment fell, and humanity with him. And at that moment, the old nature introduced into humankind, been with us ever since, going to be with us until the last day. See, what happened is, let's go back to chapter 11 now for just a moment before we press on in our story. Go back to chapter 11 for a moment. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." First thing that we find in the situation here, here's a guy, he's probably 50 year old about this time, old enough to know better. We have a 50-year-old man that should have been somewhere else but wasn't. He was doing selfishly, doing what he wanted to be doing rather than what he should have been doing. Yes? Following after something else, selfishly. Selfly. You see, the traveler was here. That traveler was already here in chapter 11. That traveler was already at work in what was taking place here. "Came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon," it says. So there's a series of events that take place, and not one of them was something that the Lord would design for him to be done in his life. And so the traveler was very alive, very well, working in this situation all the way through. That traveler, that old nature, that wayfaring man came in. And when that wayfaring man came in, there was a series of events that began to unfold and to happen, and it began to go down, 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 and down, you see. And at every point in the process, there was an opportunity for David to say, no, no, no. But he did not. He continued on in this process, in this downward spiral that we have here. He saw this woman. She was beautiful. He continued to look. He knew the woman. He knew who she was. There's no getting around that from the story that we see here. It wasn't like it was a stranger on a rooftop over there. He knew who this was. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers. See, he sent and inquired of her, sent message over there, and the men said, we're going to Bathsheba's house. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She was a known quantity. David knew her. She was no mystery woman. He'd had his eyes on her. He'd been watching. He'd been seeing. That old traveler didn't have a whole hard job to do right there, that old nature. He had him by the scruff of the neck, and he was moving him right along. David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him. There's opportunity all through here to say no, no, no more, no more. But he didn't say no one time. He just kept on with the process, the traveler prodding him along. She came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, and she conceived. And sent and told David and said, I'm with child. Buddy, when she said that she was with child, as you begin to read the story down through there, you're going to see a whole bunch of things unfold. And the unfolding events of that chapter are basically the unfolding of a cover-up. It's a cover-up for the sin that has been completed. A cover-up is now enacted in all of these things. Listen to me, friend. When that traveler comes in and he gets a hold of you, and you listen to him and you go the direction that your traveler wants you to go, that wayfaring man wants you to go, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a cover-up. There's going to be a cover-up that comes, because when you go that direction, there's always a mess. And that mess is going to have to be taken care of some way, and that's the way the wayfaring man operates. That's the way the traveler operates. He wants his way. And then we, because of the new creature that's in there, begin the process of the cover-up of what we've done. We begin to cover those things up, and that's what David did. He had a relationship with God, cultivated on those many nights, many days out there on the hills, where he and the Lord alone had spent time communing with each other. But now he's away from there, and he's in the city. And he's listening to the traveler rather than listening to the Spirit of God. And as it goes down that rabbit hole of sin, and these events begin to unfold, and he begins to cover and cover and cover and cover and cover, and deluding himself into thinking that this is all going to turn out okay. Is there anybody in the room but me that understands what I'm talking about here? That when we get involved and have listened to that old nature, and we have done something so foolish and so dumb, when we've said some things, when we've acted in certain ways, what is the first thing that we begin to do? We try to cover that up. Cover that up and hope it doesn't come out into the light of day. Hope that it doesn't come up where everybody gets a look at it. And we think and deceive ourselves into thinking that we have covered it up very well. And that's what old David did. The cover-up started. He's worked at it. He's enacting a plan. Next thing you know, he's got to figure out how to get this thing off of his conscience, off of his slate. Winds up murdering the husband. And then taking her into the house under the guise of, here's a good old boy, taking one of the wives of one of his mighty men, putting her under his wing, and bringing her in and taking care of her. cover-up. Huge cover-up with all of this. Go back to chapter 12. So we've got a rich man. We've got a poor man. We've got a little you. And we've got a traveler. That traveler, that old man, making demands of the king. Making demands of him. I want this. I need something. I want this here. And the king got it for him. Got it for him and gave it to the old man, you see. Gave it to him, dressed it for him, gave it to that man. It says David's anger in verse 5 was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And that would have been a good thing. It would have been a great thing if had David died to self. Had David died to that old man, this wouldn't have been a problem. But that old man had his way with old David here. And David sinned, and the cover-up began. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David took Bathsheba and he gave her to his carnal nature. Handed it right over to the traveler. Then he began to say, you got to cover this up. You got to cover for me. And he did. That's what the traveler says. You got to cover for me. And so David covered for him. The man that had done this thing shall surely die. You're the man. You're the one that has done these things. And then we see Psalm 51 where he admits all of these things. Admits that he's the one that has sinned against God in all of these things. Look at verse 13. David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. I'd submit to you that you want to look at what he was praying, look at Psalm 51. Take a look over there and see what he was laying out before the Lord. He understood who was at fault. He knew who he was in this story as well. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. Go down later in the passage. Look at verse 26. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the city of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I've fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people of the city and take it, lest it should be called. I'm on the wrong place. Let me take a look at chapter 11. Well, that's not going to work either. Long story short on that, the traveler had him cover for him. David sees who he is in this, admits to the problems that we have before us. Forgiveness is extended to David. But things ain't never going to be the same in his life. Things won't never be the same for him. You can be forgiven. There can be restoration of sorts. But there's a breach that takes place in that. There's a breach that took place in the kingdom. There's a breach that took place in his household. There were breaches that took place in all of these things because of him going the way that the traveler wanted him to go. I want us to think about that a minute because we still have that old nature ourselves. We have that old nature ourselves, and there are some things that we can learn from this entire process here. Take a look with me over at 1 John, if you will. That traveler that shows up when you least expect him in your life has some characteristics. This was part of somebody's memorization last week, if I remember. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16. Look what it says. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world." Now, folks, that's the characteristics of the traveler right there. That's the characteristics of the old man. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Selfishness and covetousness. These are the makeup of the traveler. These are the makeup of the old man that lives inside of you. This is why Scripture tells us that we are to die daily. That we are to die daily because He's ever with us every day on this earth. He is ever with us. And if we do not die to Him daily, that traveler will show up and that traveler will influence and take you, if you will heed Him, take you to places that you do not want to go. He's there every day, all day, that we are on this earth. He is selfish. He is covetous. He is desirous of what He wants, makes demands of those things. And if we are not where we ought to be, we will fall, just like David fell. And just like the kingdom fell into problems. And like his household fell into problems. We'll have those same problems in our life. Take a look at James for just a moment. Let me add to that, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, looking at verse 4. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Again, talking about that same situation, those same ideals. Go back to the first chapter of James for just a moment. James 1, look in verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Traveler shows up and flashes the lure. Flashes it out there and gets you to take a bite, get you to take a step, get you to take a nibble to go in that direction. Our own lust is what it says. Our own lust. The old nature. Not somebody else's fault when we fail. It's not somebody else's fault when we fail in all of this. It's our fault. "You're the man," David told Nathan, Nathan told David. "You're the man." It's not the traveler or the wayfaring man. He's you. It's you that is at fault. I was thinking as I looked at some of this, there's the way that we look at things now and the way we used to look at things are quite different. Let me give you a small example this morning, and I don't have a face to go with this today, so if it, this hit you today, know that I don't have your face up, okay? Back in the day, used to be when a couple lived together, took up housekeeping together without being married, that was quite looked down upon. Remember the day? In the society that I grew up in, that was one of those things that you just did not do. It would give you a reputation. It would give you a name. It would be a bad thing. Today, in our society, the society says that there's nothing wrong with that. That it's A-okay. There's no stigma that's attached to it, or so it seems. You see, it seems like things have changed in all of that. But when you go back and you take a look at what the Lord says about that, He's not changed one bit. That's what He says here in this particular verse, over in chapter 4, actually, where we just came from. He says, adulterers and adulteresses. See, that's how God labels that. That's how He sees that attitude and the way that we go about that process. We want to listen to the traveler. We want everything to not have to be so bad. We want to put gray areas where there's not really gray areas, because the traveler wants us to cover up for him. That's what he does. And anytime we can latch on to something that society says different than God, we want to latch on to that because we're trying to cover up for the traveling man, that wayfaring man that's in us, you see. See, this morning when I'm talking about these things and I'm talking about failure and I'm talking about moving in the wrong direction and such as that, already the traveling man is telling you in your ear, let's get up and get out of here. We don't need to listen to this mess. That's what the traveler will do. Let's get out of here. You don't need him, somebody pointing their finger at you. What is he, holier than thou? Who's he? Who's your judge anyway? Who died and made him the king to be talking about things like this? See, that's what the traveler does. The traveler wants to cover up what's taking place. He wants to cover up the failure. Doesn't want that to come out in polite company, you see. And so some of you may be sitting here right now already trying to tune out with everything because I don't care what you say. I don't know what you're into, whatever else. I'm fine. Everything's good. And I tell you this morning, that's the old traveler trying to cover it up. The old traveler trying to cover up stuff in your life this morning. And I'll tell you what, you'll never be free from it. You'll never be free from it as long as you cover it up. Whatever it is. I only hit on a couple of little old bitty examples in all of this, but I'm telling you what. I believe that this morning that the Lord God Almighty is laying His finger on some things this morning that have been covered up. Amen. That have been covered up and need to be put away rather than to continue to be covered up. And the traveler will tell you, I'm going to get out of here as quick as I can. Don't listen to that. La, 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 la. And I'm here to tell you today that you'll be in bondage every day of your life. Amen. If you continue to cover up whatever it is that the traveler has brought into your life, influenced you into this day. David understood that. He made a clean break with it. He laid it all out before the Lord. Understood there were going to be consequences. Understood there were going to be repercussions for what took place there. But buddy, he laid it all out. Laid himself bare before the Lord. And the Lord forgave him. The Lord forgives, but there are still consequences for bad behavior. The consequences continue, you see. Ephesians 6, for just a moment. I'm about done. We got to get to the cure here in a minute. Remind you of this one little old verse down here in the armor of God, Ephesians 6, and looking at verse 13. Look what it says. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Now here's the beginning of what I'm talking about for the cure for what we've got that's ailing us, which is the traveler that finds us at the most inopportune moments. That the Lord says that we need to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand in the evil day. What is the evil day? Buddy, it's about every day. It's every day that the traveler shows up. It's every day that we are tempted. It is every day that something comes into our life that would pull us off the mooring, off the moorings of consecration and towards the evil one. You see, David got darted. He got darted with lust after lust after lust after lust. He kept being darted and darted and darted until he was in such a weakened state that he completely fell. It wasn't just one decision, it was a multitude of them. And dart after dart after dart, because he did not have the shield of faith. He did not have the shield on in the proper way. And so he finally fell. Now listen to me. Don't leave here resigned to fail today. Okay? Do not leave here and be resigned to failure. We do not have to fail. We do not have to fall. God has equipped us in order that we do not fall. He is on our side. He's for us. And there is no reason for us to be darted. There's no reason for us to fall this way. So do not leave here resigned to fail. Let's think about this for just a moment. What is an addiction? An addiction of any kind is the carnal nature in control. Hear me. That's the old man in control. I don't care what the addiction is. It is the old man that is in control in your life. That's what that addiction is. I want what I want. I need this. I have to have this. That's the traveler coming in and saying, I am making a demand on your life. I'm demanding that you provide this to me. I'm demanding that you get this for me. And if we are not equipped to stand in the evil day, we will fall. We will fail. Addiction is nothing more than the old man in charge, the old man in control of what's taking place. Let me show you something over here in John chapter 3. Something you'll remember the minute I say it. John chapter 3 and verse 30. Scripture says, he must increase, but I must what? He must increase and I must decrease. He must increase. That's the Lord in me. He must increase and I must increase. Who is the one that needs to decrease? That's the old man. That's the old man. That old man that must decrease. The Lord must increase. The old man in my life must decrease. 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Take a look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That outward man is that flesh. That outward man is that old man. That inward man is that regenerate man. That one that needs strengthening, that he might increase in order that the outward man might decrease in all of this. The inward man has to be refreshed when? Day by day. The inward man has to be refreshed day by day. You don't refresh your inward man day by day, you will not be able to stand in the evil day. Hear me. Why does the traveler make such inroads? Because we are not being renewed day by day. because we are not on point day by day. The old man has to be crucified all day long. Getting saved is not the end of the old man. It's the beginning of the new man. And the one that's to thrive is the one that's fed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Renewed day by day. Renewed day by day. Crucify the old man. Renew the new man day by day. Remember Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? I am crucified with Christ. Huh? I am crucified with Christ. Old man, new man. Let's go over to Galatians just a moment. We're going to take a look over in the fifth chapter. Talks about being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The old man's crucified. I live. That's the spirit man. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5, take a look at verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. A whole big list of them here. Envies and murders and all of these things down through here. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such that there is no law. The crucifying of the old man every day and the renewing of the new man every day are vital to living the Christian life. You can't cover for the traveler anymore. You can't continue to cover up for the old man. There has to be a break and a breaking away from that. If you have never been saved here this morning, you have nothing but the traveler in charge of your life this morning. If you've never been saved, you have nothing but the old man that's in charge of your life. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Maybe sitting here in a condition like that this morning, say, you know, well, when I get things straightened out or whatever else, well, I'll come to God. Listen to me. The Lord does not remake the old nature. He starts with a fresh new one, you see. And so you can mess with that old one all you want to, but you're not going to get another inch closer to God by messing with the old nature. It's the new nature that has to be nourished. It's the new nature that needs to be stronger than the old nature that's in our life. Why do we continue to fail and falter? Because we are not feeding the proper nature. We're not moving in the proper position. We're listening to the one that comes in from the old times, from the old days, and messes with us. See, the Lord's not refurbishing us. He's made us new creatures. We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Things are become new, which means that we need to be renewing and becoming new day by day. We can live free from that old man. Did you know that? We can live free from that old man. And that's the truth. And the truth will make you free. Let me show you something in Acts. I've got a couple of more verses and I'll close it up today. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He says, there's going to be a baptism, an immersion, with the Holy Ghost, and it's going to happen in a short time, not very, very many days from now. Go to the second chapter, verse 4. And it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak and make utterances and talk to people about the Lord during those particular days. They were all filled, it says. It's a point I want to make. They were all filled. He says, you're all going to be immersed in the Spirit in a few days. And then in a few days it happened. They were all filled at that time. The moment you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. He comes in to live in you. When He comes in to live in you, He's hungry. That new life, that new spirit that comes into you is hungry. He is hungry for the things of God. The old man that is still in there is also hungry. He's hungry for the way things were, for the days back, for how the old times went. That's that old traveler, that's that old wayfaring man that is in there. The one you feed is the one that gets stronger day by day, day by day. Two scriptures, they go hand in hand. Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse 18 and 19. Trying to help you here. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How do we accomplish that? How is that accomplished? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a piece of it right there. Let me add the final piece in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You get the implication there. This renewing day by day, this filling, this strengthening of the new man is to come by putting in something that will change your life. And the something that will change your life is the Word of God. The Word of God put into your life to combat, to knock down, to weaken the old man, to allow the new man to be superior to him, you see. We're all messed up folks for sure. But we are His mess. And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference in the world. The old man is to be put down. He must decrease. He must decrease. And the Lord must increase. Scripture tells us how that increase takes place. We feed the new man. And the feed for the new man starts with the Word of God. You renew day by day by placing that Word of God in your mind and in your heart. And you wash this body and you wash this soul. You wash this mind with that Word of God. And that Word of God that washes across you then allows you to make good decisions in the evil day. In the evil day that you can stand in by virtue of having the strength put in the proper place. We got a lot of lives that have slipped. Our lives from time to time slip. If we're not diligent about feeding, if we're not diligent about putting the Word of God where it needs to be, we will be prime targets for the traveler. And he'll come, decisions will be made, cover-ups will be started, lives will be messed up. Yes, we can be forgiven, but it'll never be the same. It'll never be like it was before. And we can avoid those things. We can move from those things by virtue of strengthening the inner man. strengthening that new man to be able to prevail in the evil day. How many of us here have slipped? How many of us here have covered up things? How many of us here have neglected the new man? We've lied, we've gossiped, we've got married folks that have been at each other's throat. How can that be? How can it be when we're at each other? Is the fruit of the Spirit being manifest in that situation? Or is it the works of the flesh that are being manifest in those situations? You can call it what you think it is or call it any way that you want to. But here's the bottom line with that. The bottom line with that is that you're feeding the wrong man. Feeding the wrong man in those situations. We've stole. We've got addictions. We've coveted. We've let the traveler have his way in our life. Quit covering for him. That's my admonition to you today. Quit covering for him. Make a clean break. Put him on notice. Put yourself on notice. Don't walk out. Don't get angry and walk out. Be angry and sin not, is what Scripture says. Don't get angry at the messenger. Direct that anger into the proper place. That old man, that traveler, that one that needs to die in your life today. And the only way to take him out is to strengthen that new man. Strengthen that new creature that's in you. So start now and feed the new man. Ask for forgiveness. Yield to the Lord. Bend to him. Bend to his way and to his will. And quit covering up for the last time. Let's stand for prayer, if you will. Not a lot of jokes and not a lot of frivolity in here this morning, and that's by design. It's a serious matter. We don't laugh at sin. Yes, we're messed up, but it's not something that we just chuckle about and move on. It's when we're messed up that we need to take stock and take inventory and understand who we are and where we're coming from and how that's going to improve. How it's going to get better. We don't laugh at it. There ain't nothing about sin that's funny. God takes it real serious. And wants us to as well. I can't imagine how sick it makes him to look at the cover-ups that we've been involved in. How we've tried to bury what he keeps shining a light on here this morning. So I'd encourage you today to do something. Do something about it. Get involved in that process of feeding that new man, increasing the one that needs to be increasing and decreasing the other. Being able to stand when the evil comes. And I'm going to tell you what, the evil will come. Regardless of what you do, where you're at, the evil will come. But it's those that are prepared for it that are going to make a way through. That he'll make a way through for. You understand what I'm saying? Quit covering up for him. Quit covering up for the traveler in your life. Make a break. Call it what it is. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Make a clean break. Begin a new day. Begin a new way. And let it be today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house this morning, to look into your word. Lord, to look into the mirror of the word. Lord, that we might see ourselves as we really are. That we might see ourselves, Lord, in some small fashion of how you see us today. Lord, help us to be real with ourselves. And Lord, more than that, help us to be real with you. Lord, I know that we're never going to get out from under your love, that you love us no matter what. But Lord, we are living very cheaply, many of us this morning, living very cheaply in your kingdom. And I would pray that you would reveal that to us. Lord, that we might understand that we are exceedingly great, exceedingly rich in your grace. And Lord, that we might be able to live it the way that you expect us to. Have your way this morning, Lord. For those that are here today that have never given their heart to you, I pray, God, that you'd tweak their heart, touch their heart, move aside all the objections to coming into the kingdom. Lord, as I asked the question earlier today, who was sad about being saved? There's not a soul here that's born again that's ever sad about it, nor will they ever. And Lord, I pray for those that aren't in the kingdom this morning here, God, that you'd bring them to that place of surrender, yielding themselves to thee, and show each one, Lord God, how magnificent you truly are. For your own children, Lord, this morning here, those that have, Lord, gone down the rabbit hole and tried to cover it all up, made a bigger mess of it, I pray, dear God, that you'd help them to make a clean break, Lord God, with the old man this morning. Just tell that traveler to shut up and be done with it. I ask you, Father, to have your way. Help us to respond to right. Move upon your people, please. Teach us, mold us, grow us. Form us into the likeness of your Son. God, do your work, I pray thee, in Jesus' name. And amen. Jason's going to lead us in a song.